especially ISP and consistency, ISP and connectivity providers consistency meeting. One difficult word. I would very much appreciate if you come down such that we can discuss more easily, because I have a mic and you have not. And as we are only a few people,
I think we should try to use the first two rows. Now you can see me. Let me first of all introduce myself and my colleagues for those of you who are not well who we are. My name is Michael Schneider. I'm representing the European Internet Service Providers Association, and I am the interim chairman of this constituency. To my right, this is Hiro Hotta from NTT. He's been elected as an officer during the Berlin meeting and is, for the time being, one of my two deputies. And the other one is Antonio Harris from Cabase. Oh, please help me. That's the Camera.
I'm here representing the ICOMRAC, which is the Latin American Federation of Internet and Electronic Commerce, and I'm executive director of Cabase, the Argentine Chamber of Databases and Online Services.
Okay, thank you very much for helping me. Hiro Hotta has prepared and circulated a tentative agenda. I think we should discuss whether you have some additional points that need to be put on the agenda or some points where you feel that they need to be changed. Is there any comments regarding the agenda? I have a few remarks, one of them being that I would like to first of all go through some formalistic issues regarding membership and delegates to the ISP constituency. You may have found a list that has been published on the website regarding the members of this constituency. This is not completely correct and does not cover all of the members that have signed on in Berlin. We have had some problems with some members, for example, where we do know the name, but the email address turned out not to be correct. And regarding the ICP articles, I would like not only to report, but also to vote on the ICP articles. I think that has been made pretty clear in the conversation on the list. And I think we should pass them by today to have a basis for further considerations. Any comments? That's not the case. Then let's go to the formalistic issues. I've tried to compile a list of members which have joined the constituencies, and we have found some inconsistencies. As I already mentioned, there are organizations such as KICS and ETSI who have provided us with more than one delegate, and I'd like to know who your one delegate to the ISP constituency is. and this is what I would like to address first, some entries I cannot use. There's one entry regarding Manuel Huerto. I think this will be Manuel Hurtado, but I'm not sure. If there is someone who is here, Manuel Huerto, please contact me. The second one is Abdullah Hashim from the Emirates. I've got an email address from Abdullah, but I couldn't get in touch with him because the email address is obviously incorrect. Does anyone know Abdullah? I think we should try to make a note on that, Anne-Catherine, such that if he reads the summary of this meeting, he can come back to us and can get in touch with me. The third one is José Alessandro Bicayo from Brazil. I've only the name. I do not have an email address, and I do not have an organization. We tried to call him. Obviously, the phone numbers we have did not work. Does someone of you know Mr. Bicayo? Okay.
He's from the Ministry of Communication, from Anatel, this is the regulating body of communications in Brazil. I suppose he will be here, but I'm not sure when.
Could you repeat the name of the...
José Bicalho.
No, the name of his entity.
Anatel.
Anatel.
Agência Nacional de Telecomunicações.
Okay.
Okay. Is this a state authority or is it a private
state.
Body? Okay, I think this said it, we should consider whether he could be a member of this constituency, because I personally perceive this one here as a private organization comprised of private entities, but I think we should come back to that one later. First of all, I would really appreciate if you could provide me with an email address or something like that works,
such
that we can get in touch with him.
Yeah, but you have to discuss with him. I will try to provide that.
Thank you very much. What I would like to do now is go through the list of members we have and ask you to tell us who the one delegate, the official delegate to this constituency is supposed to be. I start with you, Isbra, because that's been the first on the list published. I don't know why. It's myself. Kabase is...
Please correct me if I'm wrong. I think Tabasa and Ephraim Life are two members, two different members to this constituency, right?
That is correct.
So who is going to represent Tabasa?
Good question. Edmundo Valenti would be...
Edmundo here? I didn't see him.
No, I'm sorry. You've got Edmundo Valenti. No, I will represent Tabasa.
Okay, great.
And Edmundo Valenti, you've got him later on down the list.
Okay. Third one is NTT.
Yes.
That's represented by you?
Yes, I'm representing it.
Okay. Hicks?
I am the official and there are three of the backup.
Okay. Etsy?
Myself, backup, and Lydia Lockwood.
By whom?
Lydia Lockwood.
Okay. Please give the correct spelling to M. Kashmir North.
Sorry, it's Bridget Cosgrave for Etsy.
Oh, no.
And the backup is Livia, L-I-V-I-A. Rossu, R-O-S-U.
Great. CXL, Siegfried Etzio, right? I-A-W-H, Rick Latona is what I have. If he's not here, I would assume that this is correct. Asimilac, representative for Asimilac? If not, I would assume that they are represented by Manuel Hurtado. Deutsche Telekom, Henning Grote, that's still correct, right? Eurotel, Constanze Schmidt, I would assume because there's no conflicting entry here that this is still correct. Knip GmbH, Almar Knip. Okay. France Telecom, Olivier Muron. Is there a representative for France Telecom today? Okay. But who is the delegate to the ISP constituency? Okay. Ecomlac will be Edmundo Valenti?
Yes.
I don't know why it's Edmundo Hoodloy.
That's funny. It should be Edmundo Valenti, and there's a mistake in the email address. It should be EMV.
V. Mm-hmm.
EMV for Victor. The rest is all right, okay?
Delia? Still you? BT? Johnny Hall, still? Okay. WorldNet? It's a representative for WorldNet here? That's not the case, and I will assume it's still Gerald Bernard. I'm sorry. Lockheed Martin CIS. Okay. They were not intending to be a member. I think then we should at least send them an email requesting for a statement. Well, there's another member, the Berkman Center has signed on, Mary Lambert. However, she unsubscribed in the meantime from the email list. And I assume that she did not intend to become a member of the ISP constituency, and on the other hand, I cannot see why they are representing ISPs. Next one is pi.se, Pontus Ackman.
Has he signed off or is he still on the list? Or?
He's still on the list.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Can you reach him by mail or?
Yeah, I think we should do it. If it's a question that he's a member, we should send him and Mike Foster from Lockheed Martin an email just asking whether or not they are a member. The last one is CAPE. That's been written incorrect on the website. It should read CAIP, I think. Is Rob Hall still with us? There we are. I think you're representing CAPE. Great. This means that the representatives for Assimilac, Cake, Etsy, and NTT I've had on my list are only backups for all of you. Okay.
What's this kind of ISP? You don't have
it? Oh, I didn't see. Yeah. Justin W. Newton is on the list representing ISPF. I don't know why he's got lost.
This is on the web.
Yes, that's on the web, and he's also on the mailing list. Although I do not really know what ISPF is, and I didn't see. No. Well, he signed on for ISPF, and I think we should get in touch with him if he can manage to do that. Although he has been very reluctant to respond to any email during the last few weeks, I do not know why. By the way, Barb, have you been in touch with ISPC on the ISP constituency?
ISPC equals ISPF. They're the same people. ISPF is just a wholly owned for-profit company that's owned by ISPC. It's the same group.
Okay.
Okay. And they have an interest right now. They have they're going through operating changes, so they probably will not do anything but support it, to take no active role for the next couple months.
Okay.
Good. You got a question, but in the back there.
Clarification. I have a request also from the Brazilian Association of Internet Network Providers.
Could you speak a little bit louder, please?
Okay. The Abranet is the Internet Service Providers, Brazilian Association of Internet Service Providers. Do you feel that they can be in this group also?
Yes, of course.
What country did you say they're from?
From Brazil.
And could you repeat the association?
Abranet.
Abranet.
Associação Brasileira de Provedores Internet.
Sure. They're included in Ecomlac. Abranet is a member of Ecomlac, but if you want to individually, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can spell the name of the president also if you want to put on the list. It's Antonio Tavares.
I know Antonio Tavares.
Okay.
Yes.
The email is atavares@abranet.org.br.
Yeah, that is a valid ISP association we're familiar with. Yes.
Okay. I think what we could do about it is either we vote on that now, if this is a formal request, or we pipe them through the procedure that we are passing and that we have laid down in the articles. This means that they have to provide us with a written request where they indicate why they are representing the ISP industry, and that we submit that to the ISP CPO list. And if we don't get any vetoes, or at least not more than 3 vetoes, they will become a member. I think we could do it both ways.
Okay, I can write also.
Is that a formal request?
Yeah, I'm a president of the council of this organization.
Okay, is anyone against voting about that one today? No, then I think we should vote. Who is against it? That makes it easier. Who abstains? Great, thank you. Are you representing them today? Okay, and on the long run? Okay. Perfect, thank you. So let's come back to the agenda of today's meeting. We have already introduced one new member now, and there's another one, ANIEL, that's a Spanish association that has been introduced on the mailing list. Is a representative for ANIEL here today? That's not the case, so we have nothing to introduce except what you've seen on the list. And then we should move on to the articles. I think you all have seen the final release that has been discussed for some time amongst the officers, and then forwarded to you for consideration. We did not receive too much response to the articles, and the final draft has been posted such that you could provide us with your statements if you wish to. I personally have three minor changes that are only formal ones, one being a change in chapter 3.32 at the very end. There's it's a minor form. Evidence of the foregoing shall be provided by the applicant in the form of a written declaration to the ISPE. It should, of course, according to what we stipulate later in the articles, be submitted to the officers, because the officers have to evaluate the submission and then pass it on to the mailing list. This should be clarified. The second point is in 6, page 4, second paragraph at the end, currently saying that one of the tasks for the officers is facilitating and, where appropriate, formulating membership consensus on policy issues for the purpose of advising the ISBCP representatives on the Names Council. I think that's obviously not correct, because since the officers are the representatives of the group on the Names Council, it makes no sense to solicit input for themselves. So that we should say that we just should remove the word ISBCP representative on the Names Council, and for the purpose, and it should now read for the purpose of advising the Names Council, because that is what the officers should do. The third one is 10, funding. Here I just would replace executive committee by ISPE, because we have defined that once, and there's no need to use another term again at that point. That's it. That's my point. Any other? Barb?
A Dan Quayle thing.
Pardon?
I think vetoes in 4.3 doesn't have an E on it, but I'm not sure. That's just an English language thing, and now I'm confused. But
I think
the plural of veto is vetoes without an E in 4.3.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just raising that question because I can't remember anymore. The substantive feedback that I have is on the quorum and physical meeting. Yes, I'm trying to find. I just lost it. Find it. Under Chapter 3, Meetings Funding 9, ISPE Procedures 9.1.
Sorry, where are you?
The draft articles. 9, on the draft articles. In the third chapter on meetings.
Okay.
In Section 9 and 9.1.
Mm-hmm.
The problem of the quorum, which is likely, as the membership grows, that there would never be a quorum in a physical meeting. And whether or not participation in a physical meeting online would be able to constitute a quorum. Because otherwise I do not see long term how we will ever have a quorum in a physical meeting. It may be extremely difficult if the participation in the organizations becomes too large, and unless you have an alternate form of participation, it makes the physical meetings unable to function and do business.
Okay, so what's your suggestion?
That you include in the definition of physical meeting people who participate by electronic means. So that we must add some method of participation.
Yeah, we just said physical meetings may be combined with tele-video conferences.
Yes, but I'm saying if you have a physical meeting and we do not have physical bodies in this room, but they are participating online, that it will count as physical presence of the meeting for quorum purposes.
Okay, we could clarify that. I read it that way already, but we could clarify that. Okay. I come back with a suggestion later. Any other comments or suggestions, Rob?
Yeah, I have a couple as well, please. On page 3, the termination of membership. Membership shall end in the event of. Do we really want to say that if there's a termination between the relationship of the delegate and the appointing entity, you lose your membership? So if I leave CAPE and stop representing CAPE, CAPE loses membership? Is that the intent here?
You're talking about 4.5.
4.5, number 1.
Yes. If you are no longer with CAPE, you will lose.
No, but you're talking about the membership of CAPE.
I'm talking about the membership in the ISPE. That's the governing body. I'm not talking about membership in the constituency.
Okay.
CAPE will continue to be a member of the constituency. However, you will lose your membership in the governing body. You will no longer be the delegate of CAPE.
And CAPE would be free to appoint a new delegate.
Yes.
Okay. The other question is more of a general one. Do we want the 3 officers to be our names council representatives? In other words, are we putting too much work on them, and do we want a larger executive that runs the constituency and does the day-to-day work of the constituency as opposed to the same 3 people that are doing the names council? And my suggestion would be we may want to include more people in the day-to-day operation of the executive of the name of the constituency and not necessarily tie them to the 3 representatives we have for the names council.
How would you implement that?
I can give you an example of what another constituency does, which is a country club constituency, which has an executive administrative committee, which has a representative from every region and any group of 10 or more country codes, and they run the constituency. The elections are free then to the names council. So you elect the 3 people you want to represent the constituency to the names council, but that has nothing to do with the actual operation of the day-to-day work of the constituency.
So you just suggest to unbundle the membership in the names council and the officers.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that allows you to have a larger executive, if you will, to do the work of the constituency, which could be fairly great. I mean, this consensus process could be arduous, to say the least.
However, this involves a serious restructuring of the articles as a whole. That's you're aware of the fact.
I'm not sure it does. If you simply take out that the involves some restructuring, certainly. I mean, it's a bit of a different concept, but you still have the concept of the executive and officers. You're just increasing the number of officers, and you're separating out the names.
I understand.
Still the same election mechanism.
I totally understand what you're talking about, but the problem is that we have had a long-term discussion regarding the articles, and I think that can't be done today amongst us only. If we want to change, or if we want to apply such a serious change to the articles, that needs a further period of consideration over the mailings.
Does it though? I mean, I'm not sure I accept that rationale. I'm not, you know, it's too late in the game to make a change. If we have a quorum here and the people here want to change it, I'm not sure I accept the rationale that it's too late in the game.
Well, on the other hand, I think it's just unfair. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm pretty open to any change that makes sense to me, but I think it's unfair to those people who did not manage to come to Santiago de Chile, and that's far away from Europe particularly. And it's unfair to those people who did not manage to come here to just change the articles without having a process of consultation with them.
Are you suggesting that we're going to vote on these articles today, though, for approval?
I think
we could do two things. First of all, apply minor changes to the articles and pass that, or we could reopen the discussion.
So you're suggesting the small group can pass articles, but we don't have the ability to make a
The articles, the articles as they are, have been published on a mailing list for discussion. We have had a
period. But you're asking us to vote on them today to say we'll pass these.
Right.
But then, on one hand, you're saying, well, we don't have the right to make substantive changes here.
We did it on a mailing list. I think the articles are not completely new to you. They have been published 1-2 weeks before, something like that.
And I'm suggesting what appears to be maybe a substantive change.
Pardon?
I'm suggesting a substantive change, then, I guess, because I don't agree with the fact that the three representatives...
Right. However, I think, as we have been, have tried to be pretty open and try to...
I'm not debating any of that.
Input from everyone. I think either we have to pass the articles as they are with minor changes only, or we have to reopen the discussion on the main list. That's the only thing
I'm
saying.
Then I suggest we reopen the discussion. Because I think that's a substantive point. I don't think the three officers should have to be the representatives of the mayor council. They
okay.
should be separate for different,
okay.
different duties.
Okay, I think since this is a pretty serious point, we should vote on that. Vote on whether we postpone the decision regarding the articles to another period of consideration on the mailing list, or whether we decided that the articles by today. An option we could have if we pass the articles today is that we change it in the next few weeks anyway. However, the articles until the meeting in Los Angeles remain in place as they are. So I call for your vote now. Who feels that we should?
Is it possible we can pass all the articles with the exception of that one point, that one suggested change?
Sounds reasonable.
So, I mean, you know, the conditions of membership and the removal and the you know, all the other points, can we pass them today and leave open the discussion on that?
I'm a little bit reluctant to accept that suggestion for one reason, being that the ICANN board expects us to come back to them with a suggestion of members of the men's council by October 8th or something like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I propose that we don't make the change. I understand the point being made by the gentleman. I think it is a valid point, but in recognition of where we are and where the process is, I propose we do not make the change.
Okay, let's vote on that. Should we postpone the decision on the articles until we could incorporate this change or other changes for some time, or should we vote on the articles as they are by now? Who is in favor of postponing it? Who is in favor of deciding about the articles as they stand? Who abstains? One. Okay, I think that's a clear decision. Nevertheless, you are free to suggest a change to the articles and have that decided in Los Angeles anyway. And I think we should follow up to your issue. Yes, of course. However, I would not vote on that before Los Angeles.
But I take issue with that because you're saying on one hand that we have to go back to the mailing list and get broader consensus. We can't vote on anything here. And then on the other hand, you're saying we have to vote on it in Los Angeles and we can't do it before then. I'd suggest that if we're going to make changes, we do it through an electronic vote in the mailing list.
Of course, you're right, but there is a provision regarding changes of articles in the articles themselves that needs to be followed, that needs to be taken care of. I think that the next step would be that you make a suggestion to the mailing list involving a clear suggestion how to change it, a clear wording how to change it, that we discuss for some time on the mailing list, that we try to solicit consensus regarding that, and we formally vote on that in Los Angeles, or have a vote on over email. I do not care. But it should be, time-wise, it should be close to the Los Angeles meeting. Okay? Any other of the minor changes that need to be applied to the articles? That's not the case. Do you have changes or recommendations here?
No, but there's a possibility to revisit the articles after further agenda fees. Because of the procedure of electing officers or members of the station to be in his own activities, we have to revisit the articles. There's a possibility.
Does that involve a suggestion that we should not vote now but later?
Yes.
However, how can we discuss the selection and appointment of members to the Lands Council, for example, if we do not have the articles where we can base the decision on? We need procedures how to select members to the Lands Council, and if we do not vote the articles now, how could we do that? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty open to postpone the decision, but I think at some point in time we need a basis for further considerations. That need to be the articles, and that means that we have to vote on the articles at some point in time. If you want to suggest changes to the articles according to some points you have made on the list, I think we should discuss that now before we vote, but before we vote immediately afterwards.
Okay. That makes sense.
Please. Go ahead.
What I want to say is that after today's agenda, because we have agenda like procedures of electing long-term officers.
Speak into the mic, we can't hear you.
We have agenda items like members' participation in DNS activities or procedures of electing long-term officers. It is included in the today's agenda. So how about voting on the articles after discussion of that? That's my suggestion.
I think we have two ways to do it. First being that we pass the articles, and then we have a procedure how to elect long-term officers. Or we discuss how to elect long-term officers now, and if this means that we need to apply changes to the articles, we should do it. But we should try to ensure that this doesn't become a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Maybe I don't understand, but I want to make sure that we all understand the proposal as it is in these articles, and what Rob is suggesting is that the election of the officers of the executive committee essentially is equivalent to the right now to the election of the named council's representative.
Right.
If we decouple that, which is the proposal, we would have to modify the bylaws so that there are two elections, one for the officers of the executive committee who run the business of the constituency, and one for the main council, which should essentially happen at the same time. And nothing would prevent an officer of the constituency from also becoming the main council representative if they indeed chose to do so. I'm not sure why we could not, if you do a count, we may have quorum here. And if we have quorum, then why we could not modify these articles now and go on and discuss the election procedure based on that proposal.
But first of all, I think that's a point we already voted on, so we don't need to pick that one up again. I think Hero's point is completely different. Hero's point, and I don't know, I assume that you have read his suggestion on the mailing list, and he suggested how to pick up and vote officers in the time we have until the beginning of October, when the ICANN board expects us to come back with a list of members to the Names Council, permanent members to the Names Council. He is now suggesting, if I got you right, Theo, that we first of all discuss how to do that and then come back to the articles, but that's a completely different point from the one you've mentioned. And you're right, we have a quorum, maybe. On the other hand, if we have a quorum has just voted that we do not consider the issue of unbundling officers and members to the Names Council by today, but postpone that to the mailing list.
Can I ask you a question? Is there
a okay, that would be great. So I call for an informal vote. Who of you is in favor of having an extended set of officers that are not necessarily members of the Names Council at the same time? I think that's your suggestion, to have at least five, and maybe one of them could be a member of the Names Council, but not necessarily.
But there's nothing to stop them,
right?
All three of them being members of both.
Yeah.
It's just
there's no automatism according to which an officer is at the same time member of the Names Council. That's a suggestion. Who of you is in favor of that suggestion? Who is against it? Who abstains? So I would say that there's strong indication that this will be incorporated in the article. However, for the time being, until Los Angeles, we need to continue with the articles as they stand. Hero. To solve the problem regarding the selection process, I would say whether or not it's necessary to postpone the vote on the articles, I would say let's just discuss the issue of appointing members to the Names Council before, and you could then point out what the implications on the articles are.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that we have to talk about the electing?
Maybe you could rephrase your earlier point. I understood that you have been saying that we need to discuss how to select members to the Names Council before we vote on the articles.
Yes, because there might be a change which is necessary to the articles.
Could you point it out in more detail?
No. I don't think there should be a change to the articles, but there may be, well, there will happen to the need for change to the articles in the discussion. That's the point.
Could you try to point it out in a little bit more detail and make examples?
I'm sorry, I don't have examples.
Because what I'm seeing, I've read your suggestion to the mailing list, saying that we need to pick the officers by October 8th or something like that.
Yes.
And I agree. I think that's the paper procedures of electing officers. I think copies are over there if you don't have it. To make things easier, we should go through it. Hero has summarized the schedule, and I agree to it. Is there any remark to the schedule? So our deadline is October the 8th. Correct, Hero?
Yes.
And until October the 8th, we need to provide the ICANN board with the final list of Names Council members. If we pass the articles as they stand, we need to manage to select nominees and to vote on them in time between now and October 8th. I see a slight difference between what I'm saying and what you've written here, because you say that we should not start with the nomination period before September the 16th, until we are formally recognized by the ICANN board. On the other hand, I feel that we should not wait, and we do not need to wait until final recognition to pick candidates, because if they do not recognize us anymore at that point in time, what we did is obsolete, but it doesn't hurt anymore. So I think we could start picking nominees by early next week. Of course, the articles state that we need a nomination period of 2 weeks. We could have such nomination period, could nominate candidates for all three officer posts, and could have a period of 3 weeks where we vote on every of the officer week by week. It has to be done in a staggered way, because consideration for every officer that is on the list is on the basis who is currently officer. So if we start voting on the chairman, and for example, Barb Dooley becomes chairman, that's just to make an example. Every candidate on the second list coming from the US has to be removed to avoid that we get two candidates from the same geographic region. If we vote on the candidate at the same time, it will be hard, or we will need to find a mechanism how to ensure that we do not have more than one candidate from any geographic region in another way, and this would imply a change of the articles, of course. However, to do it in the way that's described by the articles is very simple. I feel we just need to have three single weeks of voting on every post. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You're looking a little bit...
I think it's really dangerous to go down this path. You're talking, there's many different election mechanisms. There's the single transferable vote, which the country codes have just used. There's, you're trying to solve a problem of regions imposed by ICANN, and there's many, many different ways to do it, to just pick arbitrarily one. I mean, you could be, have you looked at, by doing it individually, have you looked at the fact that one region could potentially capture the vote of who they want? I mean, you're allowing votes to count twice, and that may not be what you want. I mean, it may be, but I mean, I think there's many different voting mechanisms, and I don't see enough information in this document to say, you know, I don't see anything about the three individual weeks, and everybody gets to vote three times, and, you know, I think this needs to be fleshed out a lot more before we run headstrong and do it.
Well, I made it pretty simple in the articles, as they stand. I just said we only vote on one at the same time, and we consider who the other officers are and from which regions they are, and we remove any candidate from the two other regions. We could, of course, implement a completely different mechanism. We could rewrite the articles as a whole. We could draft completely new articles. However, wrong. We have started drafting before the Berlin meeting, and we have continued drafting later. If you want to rewrite the articles, please feel free. But I think it's not the appropriate time to do that now.
I understand the time constraints imposed by ICANN upon us to get some permanent members of the Names Council. I certainly understand that they're pushing us to do such a thing. However, I'm concerned that there seemed to be fair consensus in this room to change the model of the, although we don't want to do it today, to change the model of the, to separate the Names Council representatives from our officers. That would, to me, necessitate a possible change in the elections, and I believe, election procedure, and I believe that's what your point was. To run the poll mill, to elect people for a period of 2 years or more, doesn't seem to make sense to me at this point. I think we have to be very cautious and proceed very carefully. I realize we have to elect people by October. However, I'd suggest that we do it in such a way that if the articles are changed, around the October timeframe or shortly thereafter, that we can go to the new set of articles without locking ourselves in for a 2-year period.
Rob, I agree with everything what you've been saying. On the other hand, why didn't you make that suggestion earlier? Why do you make suggestions like that?
I wish I had. I'm sorry. I wish I had. I didn't. I'm sorry.
I wish as well. Okay. I think we have another point here. Should we change the way that officers are selected completely, or should we vote on that as it stands? That's the question.
I'm not sure you can. I'm not sure there's been enough. I certainly don't have enough information of the different possibilities of voting electors and that, but to vote on anything. I mean, do we use single transferable vote, or are there ramifications with different regions? Do we do it in 3 different weeks? I mean, I think we need options of, why is one better than the other? Now, that doesn't help us for the October, so...
So you're questioning the whole concept of having representatives from three different regions?
No, I'm not questioning that. I'm questioning the best way to elect them. And what I'm saying is we may need to put a mechanism into place for October to get where ICANN needs us to be. But that shouldn't necessarily be the mechanism we use, you know, down the road. And we shouldn't be locking people in for a few years based on something we do in a rush between now and October.
Well, let me just read the articles again to be quite precise. Okay. Antonio made a great suggestion that we have a coffee break schedule for 10:30. It's now 10:35. We could use the coffee break to discuss the issues amongst us and to find ways around the problems that we've just identified. Okay. How long is it? I think we should not take more than 50 minutes. We should reconvene by 10:50. Okay. Thank you very much. If we reconvene. Pretty cool here. Maybe we found a solution to our problems. Hello, Barb. I know that's pretty interesting what you're doing over there. I totally agree. On the other hand, we have only 1 hour left. And we need to go through some additional items on the agenda. Before we continue, I have another request to become a member I'm so sorry that I will not be able to spell it correctly. Xi Ying Zhu, is that correct? Could you please introduce yourself? That would be better than me doing it. Could you repeat your name, please? Okay.
Yeah.
And you're applying for membership for HiNet, correct? Okay. I think we should vote on that one as well. Who is in favor of accepting HiNet as a member? Hello over there. Please be so kind and vote. Okay. Who is against it? Who abstains? Thank you very much. Congratulations, another member. You're very welcome. So then we should return to our problem with voting procedures and the articles. Done. Thank you very much. And we have tried to figure out what the alternatives are in the break, and I think we have come to a constructive solution, being that we pass the articles as they stand, however, that we elect the officers who are at the same time members of the Finance Council under the condition that if we agree on an amendment to the articles according to which we will uncouple officers and membership in the Finance Council, the officers will lose their posts at the very moment when we've passed this change, and we will have a new election for officers. Maybe that we at that point in time come to the conclusion that we will appoint the same officers, maybe that we will come to the conclusion that we will have a different set of officers, maybe that we just select, that we'll just elect to have more officers and maintain the officers as they stand. But the suggestion is that we vote on it under the precondition that if we change the articles, that the officers will be re-elected at that very moment. Okay? Is there any comments on that? No? Then I would suggest that we, just to get a better feeling whether that is acceptable to you or not, we vote on that suggestion. Who is in favor of this suggestion? Who is against it? Who abstains? One. Okay, I think that's pretty clear. And I think that's a good point in time. Oh, there's another issue that has been raised by Barb. Barb feels that we should not publish the results of those. Neither indicates that we... Oh, yes, sorry.
Who voted what?
Who voted?
I think the suggestion by Barb was you shouldn't publish, it should be a private poll, you shouldn't publish an individual's vote. The results you have to publish, of course, but not the...
Yes, of course. But neither publish who voted in the case of physical meetings, nor if you vote over email. Just publish the results. Well, if you want to rephrase it, please.
Yes, I do not have a problem with listing those people who actually voted, you know, the names of the organizations or companies or whatever. I do not want a linkage between those people who participated in a vote and their vote. So I don't have a problem with the list of the people who actually participated, and also, of course, we have to publish the results of the voting. But I do not want a linkage. I do not want to see Kix's name next to who they vote for. But I do not mind a list of, because also I think it would be helpful to see who actually is participating enough to actually vote. So it tells us the companies and organizations who are participating in the work of this work group. I don't mind seeing that list.
Okay.
But I do not want a linkage between participating in a vote and seeing the vote of my colleagues and peers.
May I suggest that we apply the following change? I start with 8.4, the last sentence, that we change it as follows. Second half of the sentence, the election manager will publish a full overview of votes, naming voters. Then we remove as well as the candidate of their choice, but we leave in and the results of the voting, such that it reads, will publish a full overview of votes naming voters and the results of the voting. And in 8.3, we should change it only slightly, last sentence, the names of the voters and the results of the voting shall be recorded in writing. That's exactly the same.
Why didn't you say the names of the voters? I'm sorry, the names of the voters and the overall results.
In both cases, the overall results. Okay, good.
You're going to need to change 8.3, the first sentence as well, where you call them up individually and ask for their vote.
Pardon?
8.3, the first sentence where you call up delegates individually and ask for their vote. You may have to amend that.
Change in which way?
Well, I think you intended with this, if I may, that you would call a roll and ask them to publicly announce your vote. If this is being done by secret ballot now, that will apply. Is that correct?
Should we just strike out individually and namely? Or just the whole rest of the sentence behind present? Shall call up and delegate present, period?
I think that's fine. I mean, call up means to me that you call a roll and say, what's your vote? And if this is going to be done by secret ballot, I think you may want to change it to the election manager shall hold the vote.
I think it should not, it should not be secret. In physical meetings, it should not be secret.
For elections, it has to be. This is not on motions now. This is to do with elections. It has to be secret for elections.
Okay, then if it has to be secret, I think that we need to change that accordingly and to mention that we will have secret elections. In case of votes on persons, we will have secret elections.
Yeah, well, all of this is to do with elections, right? So I think you may want to change it. The election manager shall distribute secret ballots and hold the election or something like that.
Oh, I see. Then we need to change 8.1 that elections will be well, help me with the wording secret? No.
Well, yeah, or you could just add into any of them. All voting for candidates will be done by secret ballot.
Let's add the sentence at the end of 8.1, elections will be secret, period. Then go back to 8.3.
Elections will be performed by secret ballot, maybe is the better way, as opposed to our elections will be secret. And then just in 8.3, just say the election manager shall hold the vote.
Pardon?
In 8.3, just the election manager shall then hold the vote. I mean, you don't...
What is it supposed to do with the participants in tele and video conferences, if we have both?
Well, the election manager would have to find a way to allow them to vote secretly. I mean, the election manager will know who the votes are and who's voting and what they are.
Okay.
But the constituency as a whole will not. So.
Okay. So could you please repeat your suggestion?
My suggestion is, at the end of 8.1, all voting will be done by secret ballot.
Right.
And 8.3, will, the first sentence will read, insofar elections are held in physical meetings, the election manager shall hold the vote. I mean, I'm not sure it's any more complicated than that. The election manager shall manage and hold the vote. The election manager decides.
What you're saying is the election manager will say what the votes are, but not who made them.
No, he has the election manager has to. The reporting is handled in the last sentence of 8.3.
Mm-hmm.
The election manager will call for the vote and hold the vote. I mean, he's responsible for managing and holding the vote. I think that's all you need to say in the first sentence there. You know, insofar as elections are held in physical meetings, they will be managed by the election manager. You want to
so if he has a bunch of emails, he will not read them out to everybody present in the room.
It's all secret ballot. That's covered under suggestion 8.1. He never would read them out. The election manager will manage and control the vote. You've got a question from Barbara.
Okay.
We had same kind of discussion in another context, but about exactly the same thing, about what to do with video and teleconferences, and decided that that voting, the actual voting, which needed to be secret, would have to be done by email or fax at that time, that the election manager, what you're calling the election manager, would have to either give the, you know, the secret keyword, you know, you send your ballot and this is the keyword, so that if we have people getting in on a teleconference who are not legitimately there, that we know our delegates, so it's not the same problem.
How about a phone?
You send, but those can also be private, because if you are participating, you have access to email or a fax machine to send your vote.
How about the following suggestion? Then those participating in the election via tele or video conference are asked to submit their votes via email or telephone.
That's right. It has to be
using a keyword that they will be provided with by the election manager.
Or whatever, because it has to be in writing. I mean, all of ours present are by writing. There's no problem. And for auditing purposes, you want those things in writing.
But you
don't need to have verbal votes.
Secret.
Pardon me. I'm not understanding the problem in having open votes. Can somebody explain that? Because we are complicated all the procedures now.
I think, Bob, it's been your point.
I don't have a problem with open votes for motions. I absolutely have a problem with open votes for people. I think it can make... it can politicize the working of a group, and that it is not a good working model to have votes for people open. It's often not clear why the voting may happen the way that it does, and I would prefer that votes for people be secret, so that there are no personal feelings associated with that, since within an organization, those decisions may have nothing to do with any personal feelings that the voter has.
Since I see that there are different views regarding secret or open voting, I should like to ask you, who of you feels that we should not vote openly but secretly?
Can you clarify that to be just for election people?
Right?
Just for election of people?
Yes, for election of people. Right. So who is with Barb of the opinion that elections of people should be held in secret? Who? Okay. Who is of the opinion that it should be open? One, and I abstain. So I think we have to find ways to accommodate Barb. And let me just repeat what we have been saying, that we add a sentence in 8.1 according to which elections are secret. You have made a suggestion.
8.1, you add at the end, elections will be held by secret ballot.
Okay, great.
I think is the suggestion to the end of 8.1. And 8.3, I want to leave it fairly open of, insofar elections are held in physical meetings, the election manager shall manage the process. So I think you want to kind of punt this to the election manager.
I agree.
Whether it's telefax or phone or whatever, I think the election manager finds a way to, you know, it's his responsibility to make sure he knows who the delegate is he's talking to and get the vote.
I agree. However, I think we should then change the second sentence, as I already suggested. Then those participating in the election by tele or video conference are asked to submit their votes via email or telefax using a keyword provided to them by the election manager.
Can I suggest you also do it by phone? Not the teleconference, but for instance, if you were the election manager, you should be able to call me and get my vote as opposed to me having to fax or email.
Okay. So email, telefax, or?
Private phone call.
Private phone call. Good. Okay. So I think then we have applied all changes. The issue regarding the term of office, the uncoupling of office and names, council, membership, does not involve a change to the articles. It's just a point that we agree upon at the same time, that the officers that will be elected soon are aware of the fact that they will lose their office when we change the articles according to what we have discussed.
Sorry, one more point, but it is possible in 8.5.
In 8 what?
In 8.5, in the event of a tie, that we have people who are being voted the tie who are not present, which is something we have already experienced, theoretically. And you couldn't draw lots because they're not physically present to draw lots. We have an election. So, but it doesn't say, I mean, usually then the people themselves are drawing the lots, right? So who's going to decide? The election manager flips the coin and decides, you know, heads is this guy and tails is the other guy?
Yes,
just be aware that the way it's written, you would think that the people are physically present. I'm just bringing that up. I mean, because we've already had a tie vote in this constituency.
I would leave it as it is, to be pretty open. Because if we try to change the articles on that level now, we will not conclude today. We'll obviously, if we just consider and leave and allow a little bit of consideration, we will find definitely 10 other points we could change slightly. So I would now call for a vote on the article. If there is no further comment, okay. I think you are aware of the changes that we are going to apply. Do you have a comment? Sorry? No. You were pretty aware of the changes that we are applied to 8. You're aware of the precondition that we will vote on the officers.